All right, today is Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Time now is 5:17. Regular board meeting, all board members are present. Action item 1A, opening of the meeting, call to order, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda. Right now, just under action items. Action item C, we're going to change the wording of will be to were. Make it past tense. Anything else?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda with the change.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 Item 2, call to the public.
Not.
Right. Item 3, consent agenda, approval of the minutes, regular board meeting August 15th, and special board meeting September 1st. I didn't see
anything. I have nothing on either one.
Nothing here? Mm-hmm. All right. B, presentation of the August financial report.
Yes, good evening. The first page that says August 2020, the voucher, there's the listing of what we paid out in expense and the payroll vouchers. The large second voucher, expense voucher in August, that came basically on voucher, it was on 2106. We had a lot of annual fees that we paid off. We purchased textbooks, and those went up to $7,000 for that group. Then there was another group for another $9,300. So there's $17,000 right there that increased the vouchers for that time frame. And just a lot of our, just another renewal, so there's two renewals that month. We also paid the State Data Co-op for their specialized services for the quarter, and that's $21,000. So those are the big things.
And which page are you on, Donna?
I'm going off the first page.
The batch number 2106?
Yes.
Okay, voucher, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sorry, proceed.
No problem. So that's the biggest difference on the expense section on the vouchers. And the increase from the first payroll to the second payroll is the first payroll didn't have the paraprofessionals on it, and the second voucher did. So it's still running about that $76,000 in that range most every time now.
One other thing with Don, as I think I'll just throw it in there, we really work with Sally to look at what we have. When we get commodities and this kind of stuff, we've really worked on what do we have in the freezer, what do we have available, let's use as much of the stuff that we have and not keep ordering new, and really trying to use the commodities. She's focusing on using that more because commodities are about 20% of the cost of what we would pay for the same stuff from Shamrock, say, or whoever we're buying it from. We get a juice for commodities for the same size juice that costs us 3.4 cents, and from Shamrock it's between 12 and 15 cents. So we're really trying to focus it on all the ways we can save money and get our food costs down. So hopefully you'll be able to continue to see our food purchases much lower and under control instead of just ordering a bunch, because we're running out of storage area too. We're still working on our storage area.
They repeatedly dinged us big for that for a few years.
We're gonna get audited again on that re-audit on the supply audit. And one of the things they're gonna be looking at is what kind of a deficit are we last red, it's just still the wrong color right now.
Right here where it says on the voucher 2106, parts per promo, is that like little desks for everybody, or is it where they're going to store on more?
It's where you store the promo.
Oh, you store, okay.
And the charging station also.
Oh, okay.
It's protection, and then it's also electric charger. So it's
blocking. Risa, it's page 2 from voucher 2106.
We have those for all of our Chromebooks, and we also have them for our iPads. So we can lock them up so they don't disappear, but then they're also, you know, nobody's going to drop them or anything like that.
Does everybody have not access, but say for instance, any class can use those?
It depends on, actually in my report I'm going to talk about Chromebooks and the iPads. We bought 20 for the kindergarten this year, and then we have iPads spread out throughout the rest of the elementary. And I'll do a spoiler, but we just got an extra $10,000 in our Title III, and we got $5,000 that we weren't going to spend because of canceled things because of Corona. So we just bought 40 brand new Chromebooks in a huge cart, and Title III approved it today. So now our fifth grade will also have Chromebooks. So 5 through 8 will all have their own Chromebooks, if and when that slow boat from China gets here.
Wow.
And I literally mean that slow boat from China, because that's that's where they're coming, and it's taking a long time. So we have 70. Is it 70 coming? It's either 70 or 50 coming, and then another 40. So we've either got 110 more or 90 more coming.
Notebook?
Chromebooks. They're, I mean, a little bit smaller than this, but...
There's 70 and there's 40 coming.
Yep. So there's either 90 coming or 110 coming. I just don't remember if we got the 50 or if we got the 70.
I'm not sure exactly.
We ordered them about a month apart.
They're staying here, though. They're not going anywhere.
No, they're... That's, our plan with that is that the kids would get a Chromebook when they start fifth grade, and that Chromebook would follow them through till eighth grade. Then we would have about a year left to use it, and then it won't be supported anymore. And with the cost of Chromebooks, it's much more financially supportive to do that. iPads are, I don't want to say they're almost 2 for 1.
Just about.
Yeah, I think iPads are close to $1,000, and the Chromebooks were around 4 something. So.
Anything else on the financial report or the vouchers? All right, moving on to D, is approved surplus items to dispose of to clean up our grounds and storage areas.
All right, and we brought in $525. We were able to sell everything. And so between the two sales that we had, we brought in $1,150. So that's good. Instead of having stuff kind of sitting around, we were able to make some money and use. I mean, obviously, we probably already turned around and spent that money, but, you know, it was put to good use, and I think people got it. They were very happy with the stuff they got, so that was good. I think it was very successful. I was hoping, you know, with the first one, I was hoping we'd get at least $300, and we got $625, and this time it was $525, and, I told Donna, I wasn't sure how this one was going to go, because we had a few more furniture items, but we had a lot of other stuff that I wasn't sure how, you know, excited people would be. But everything went, so it was good.
Okay. Anything? Mm-hmm. I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second motion.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. And Donna, do you have a copy of the? You said both of the contracts entered. Did you keep a copy? I did not get a copy to make a copy for these guys for the contract with the School of Death.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Where is that in our thing?
It's not. That's what I was just asking.
Oh.
I didn't have a copy of it. I noticed it's not in mine, so I assumed it wasn't in yours. We got two copies. I went through it, and then the attorney went through it, and then we had to send it back to them, and then they were going to sign it, and I'm assuming we'll get one back. But the contract with the school for the deaf and blind is basically the same contract we had. They service the kids that we have that need it. We are working with St. David to possibly be able to move that service to the co-op, and we can save some money on it. But we do have, I'm just going to say that the gal that we have that comes here is really good. She's really positive. She does a great job with the kids. So, you know, if the co-op doesn't have somebody that would be the same quality, then I would want to stay with these guys. But it's the same contract basically that you've had with them for I don't know how many years. So they really didn't change anything with it except that they sign it. You sign it every 5 years.
What did the lawyer say?
Huh?
What did the lawyer say?
The lawyer said everything was fine. It was pretty much a cookie cutter. So.
Anything? Anything?
I'm good.
I would like to make a motion to approve action item A, the IGA contract.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 And moving on to B, presentation, discussion, possible vote on the second reading of the policies recommended by the ASBA.
All right. So, there's two things I want you to grab. Number one, I want you to take that short synopsis that I typed up for you guys that kind of went through all of the different policies. And then I want you to grab the numbers again.
I went through every one of them since we had them for quite a period of time.
June, August, and then September of 2018. I think they're all in the right order in your packets. So that would be the first one, and then if you took that. I'll go through 616 through 624, and if it's all right with you guys, I don't think I had anything on any of these.
Are you going to go off your synopsis?
Yeah, these were all good. Here's the deal. The DIE policy number 617, that put in a couple of things, and then it put in something that they're going to turn around and change on the next one that we approved from 2020. These were all things that we had to have. The DIE was a state law. Then there's for construction, conflict of interest, and special education, 622 was a federal, that they changed that to be in line with the federal law. So there's really nothing that I found that was catchy, sketchy, didn't really apply to us. They were all pretty legitimate, and like I said, three of them had different law things tied to them, so we need to approve them. Did you guys have any questions on those?
Well, did you go to 638, the entrance age requirements? Mine was non-existent.
Which one now?
The entrance age requirement after 637, 638.
Oh, I just went through 624 first.
Okay.
That's all I went. I just was going to go on back and
then. Well, we get to that, I mean.
Okay. Anybody have anything through 624?
Okay. I don't.
Then 625 through 643. All right. So, let me find where I know I had something here. 630, the policy DIE. In this one is not approved as legislature reversed its course. So we will not approve number 630 policy DIE.
So that's stricken?
Right. We will not approve that one. That would at least be my recommendation because the legislature changed the wording after they put it in. And so since we're only approving it right now, it doesn't make any sense to approve it and then turn around in 10 minutes and approve something that's going to strike it. So that one. And then you had a question. Let's see.
It's not the next page anyway.
638. Oh, entrance age requirements. Basically, all that had said was that the entrance age for kindergarten is 5 and for first grade is 6, and boards have the ability, if they so choose, and between the teacher, the days that like a child there, I mean a psychologist or somebody, between the three of them, they should sit down and evaluate it. If they agree that the child is, they're only 4 and a half or whatever, but they're ready for kindergarten.
After testing.
After they test and go through that, then that could be a recommendation. Otherwise, it's age 5 and age 6 for first grade.
What's the date?
Say what now?
The date's on the infant. Usually they have a set date.
September 1st
okay.
is what they had for first day of school.
Okay.
So September 1st is what you would go with. I think that's kind of universal all over the U.S. Even though we start earlier, if they turn 5 by September 1st, I believe. Is that not correct? Here they have approved that. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't. I don't know why, but there's like 2 or 3 spots for about that same spot in the thing. It didn't make it. Didn't copy it.
Well, that one has certain kind of a big deal. Once we make an exception, then there seems to be an avalanche.
Well, that's why you have to make sure you have testing, make sure you have a committee and a specialist,
sure ready,
and then
right.
The 3 people all agree. Because the parent might always say, my kid's a genius. They should be in second grade. Why is there a kindergarten? But that's why you do it. And you're always looking to make sure it's age appropriate and the student
and
might be successful.
We're not getting kids that are body trained.
No, yeah.
They have to turn 5 by September 1st?
They should be 5 by September 1st, and then there's no question. If they're not 5, then there has to be an appeal, and you have to set up a committee. If the board is willing to look at it as an appeal, then we'll set the committee up. If the board isn't wanting to take anyone under 5, we don't have to.
Who will be part of the committee again?
It would be the
teacher,
the parent, and then you would have like your therapist who would do all of the testing.
And ultimately the school, board
I don't know if it'd be the school psychologist, probably school psychologist, but somebody who does the testing to see if the kid is ready.
Last year, I think we just had the kindergarten teacher do
right.
it, and then and it was the superintendent,
and
it was approved by the board.
And then we didn't accept the second one. Because when I got the testing from the teacher, the student wasn't ready. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, if you have the testing and the teacher runs them through a test and they can do them all, and they're like at 70, 80, 90% right, and, you know, all that, well, that's one thing that you know, this is the one I said no on.
But I don't doubt any matter. Thank you.
And now that we have that junior first program, it really does, you know, I mean, honestly, it gives you an out where if you let somebody, or the kids aren't ready, we have that safety net. So I think it's going to be a positive thing. Okay, so, through 643, I believe everything was good on that one as well. Anybody have specific questions? Immunizations, you know, there's another one that's coming for this year's update, so that it'll actually take some of the language from that and update it again, but there are some things in 642 that we need to approve, so they stay in 642.
In the past, we've had students that were going ahead and pushed through with the theory that they would later on come up with the paperwork when they did not, and that wasn't followed up on.
What we've done now is vaccinations. We called ADE for this year. ADE said they have to have their vaccinations, but if they've had their first round of shots and they have their appointment with the doctor and you have it recorded on a written slip, you can allow them to come if they have their second set of shots. So that's what we've done. We called ADE to see exactly how they wanted us to do that, because we actually had 2 kids come in. One has their second round of shots in December, and I think the other is in October. So we just wanted to make sure we weren't doing that. So questions on anything through 643? We would not approve number 630. Okay? The rest of them we would, but 630 we would not.
Correct.
Right.
630.
Okay. When we make that motion, we'll want to make sure we add that to it. All right, and then 644 and 645. That'll be the last one on action item B. 644. Okay, it's good as is. The main thing with 644 is there are adjustments to the procedural aspects of special instruction programs. whole lot. It's just in how it should be done or when or who should be doing it. And it's really not changing anything in the special program. And then 645, the immunization again. They turned around and updated immunization from 642 June, and then they turned around in September and updated again. So immunization seems to get one update all the time. So, but I would recommend that we approve both of those as is. There's nothing controversial. But 642 to 645, there's some terminology in 642 that you need that they changed that will stay in 645. So that is your 2018 recommendations.
645.
Okay. So if we could get a motion to approve item 6, I got to get the right number to start with. Policy advisory 616 through 645, striking policy advisory number 630.
Do you want to do a separate motion for each year or one?
I would like to do the B for the 2018 year and the C for the 2019 year if we could.
Okay.
That way, if there's something we don't approve, I've got a motion for that.
Right.
So if we could put that terminology in there, if that's all right with whoever makes the motion.
So
to approve all.
Please correct me on this motion if I make a mistake.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion to approve policies from June 2018, which are from number 616, all the way up to September 2018, which is policy number 645. We are not approving policy number 630. And policy number 644, the understanding that there is procedural aspects to it.
Yep. That does it for
2018. For 2018,
that,
correct.
All of the policies.
That's my motion.
Catch us up.
Can I get a second, please?
Second motion?
Aye.
Aye.
May 2019, Policy Advisory 646.
Does not apply on 647. So 646.
646 is that new DIE1, and that's where they turned around and canceled the 630 terminology.
Oh.
So that, what they did was they wrote this one and they basically totally turned around what 630 had said. That's why we struck 630. And I guess the nice thing is now if you want to, last year we could have kept Heinfeld and Meach as our auditor and used them as a consulting firm. Because that law just changed. But we didn't have that policy adopted anyway, and it came out after we had already made the decision that we were doing. So, and then 647. This policy only relates to high school. I don't believe we need to touch it, and I would strike that. And I would do that.
You don't even need to strike it. Is that what you're saying?
I would
usually just approve it and then let it ride because it does not apply to us anyway.
Well, here's the reason why. First of all, this is that family sex education, and I don't think we should pass it because, A, it doesn't apply to us,
right.
And if somebody reads that we passed it, now we're going to have all these people excited, and it doesn't apply to us.
That's
because
true.
If we do a program, my suggestion would be to come back to you and say, what we did last spring worked out. It was optional for the parents. They came in with a curriculum, state approved, and they taught it. And so that's what I would do at our level. But this policy relates to 10th grade students.
We should strike it.
We should strike it. We don't have it in there. We are not going to, I would not recommend that we approve it because I just see that as being an issue I could handle a lot of phone calls about that we don't have.
A lot of my times they're innocuous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, I would recommend we strike 647. All right. And then, residents, mission of non-residents.
And that was a hairy thing.
Public right to know. Honestly, the rest of those for 650. 648, 649 are mainly the forms, the exhibits that we use when we register students, whether they're residents or non-residents. So they just made a few changes in those forms, so that's what we would be approving there. 650, the public right to know and freedom of information, basically just tells you that what is the public's right to know, and when they request the records, how quickly you need to do it to get them. So I guess to me, I would say that we would approve the rest of them, but we would strike 647.
All the way up to 650?
All the way to 650, yes.
Okay.
And
that is for all of you. Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the May 2019 recommendations, policy 646, all the way up to policy 650, but will not approve policy number 647.
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, it's interesting.
Who seconded that?
He's got
Merrill. Okay. Yeah, the next one that I have is April 2020, and that would be policy advisory number 670. That is professional support, sick leave, and this is one I would recommend that we table 670, and I would like to do a little bit of background work because I need to make sure that whatever we put in place is correct and legal. As of this moment, your policy, I gave you a copy of the policy you have on the books. It says, upon severance of service with the district at the end of the fiscal year, after 5 years of continuous service, an employee may request buyback of 15 days, and after at a rate of $50 per day, and upon severance of service with the district at the end of 10 years, you can get 30 days at $50 a day. And my understanding from this updated policy, and I did not, that's why I wish the law conference would have been live so I could have actually sat down and talked with our attorney. But everything I read here, there's more of a monetary amount where you have to make sure that it's going to at least reach minimum wage for their hourly time that they would put in to be able to.
You've never had to deal with that before.
I know, but this, you have to also remember, I think this one goes back to, whether it was 2009.
Wow.
Okay, so I mean, we're...
So we're doing this to benefit the employees.
This benefits the employees and it makes us legal.
Yep.
So I would like to be able to do some checking, and then I'll get you guys the information, and then I'd like to bring this one back to the next board meeting. So if we could, let's table number policy advisory number 670 for policy GCCA.
Table
that? Yeah,
make a motion.
I would like to make a motion to table policy 670 and 671.
Just 670.
Okay. I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
What about 671?
671. Yeah. Okay. So policy 671, I'd like to lump that together with the rest of them if we can. I think that we can do that.
Yep.
Policy 671, the professional support staff telecommuting, that was put in because of the ability to work from home if teachers needed to work from home in certain school districts. It was one of those that we would, we kind of approved something, you know, immediately last spring. But this actually is a little more thought-provoking. So I would like to approve that as is, policy 671. And then 672 is sick leave upon okay, so 670, we're going to have to table 672.
I thought
that was all together. That's my fault.
And you're going to put 671 and 672 in the same motion?
We can approve 671 and we can table 672 in the same motion. Actually, we can approve the rest of them, I think.
We could do a separate motion. Since that motion is already done.
If we go all the way to 676, we can do it in one motion, if that's all right.
So wait, say that again. Yeah.
I would say we can approve all but 672. We can table 672 and we can approve 670. 1 through 676, but I just wanted to talk about the two things in those policies towards the end.
676?
Right. Yeah. 676 is regulation KIRB visitors to the school.
Yeah.
Should be the very last one that I did.
Right, so you're lumping all those together?
Yeah.
Well, there's only.
From 671
to 676. So there's only like six of them, and one of them we're going to table because it's combined with the other one.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. So on 674, the biggest thing, the wording was under letter B, and it's about face coverings.
Mm-hmm.
And when we looked at those, if you remember right, I gave you three copies from Udell Shumway. I really sat down and I looked at them. And the terminology in Udall Shumway gives a little more gray area than the terminology from ASBA. I just would stick with ASBA because if we're going to have the ASBA policy services, the difference is pretty minute. And the ASBA basically says if you're supposed to be wearing face masks, you will wear face masks as part of the uniform. It's part of what you're asked to wear. And in Udall Shumway, it says you're asked to wear your face masks something to the effect of during the times of an emergency or whatever. And I just assume, I don't think we need to put that during the times of an emergency. I think we just stick with the ASBA. It's in their policy books anyway. It's less for us to correct when we go in there to put these all into our book. And I think it just makes a little more sense and it gives people a little less to question. I mean, we have not had questions about wearing face masks yet. I'm sure that's probably to come.
So nobody's been concerned about the reading the CO2 or any of that? Because they're not really here all day.
No, and our teachers are going to be able to take them out for walks and stretch them 10 feet apart so they take their masks off. And I mean, we're not going to be stupid. They're going to sit in a little closed room and
right.
make them do 100 jumping jacks and then sit down and breathe hard. I think the teachers have really done well so far, and I think they'll be fine. Policy 676, also it's the exact same thing about face coverings under 676 as there was 674.
I'm just kind of concerned how you're going to really limit that, because I know that even though we have everything closed off, parents have a tendency to circumvent the gate.
Well, what we have to do is we have to have everything locked except for have the two front areas where we have people to take temperatures when the kids come in, and then when the side parent area is not being used, we're going to lock it.
What about the one by the gym that has a little duty key?
I have Mr. Valdez has a, we have a
you're securing it.
We have a chain and a lock that he's been putting, he puts down there in the morning, and then we take off about 10 o'clock. We haven't really, you know, honestly, the only people that have, there's been one walker, that's a lady who walks here every day. I think, I don't know, I've seen her hundreds of times. But she goes out and she walks the track and then leaves. We haven't had anybody else that I've seen out here during school hours. One night there were a couple of people down by the softball field.
There's always parents that are like, they bring the kids in late and they instead of going through the office days,
right,
running around through.
And
or
I mean,
if they have to drop them off the kids, they swing in.
We won't catch everybody, but if everybody's on the same page here working, they know that the parents, we're not allowing them, we're telling the parents, you can't come on campus unless you've signed a waiver and we have checked your temperature. And that's not everything, but those two things should help us.
We just have to be consistent.
Yes, and then it's got to be for everybody. So that's just the biggest thing. So any questions on 671 through 676?
No. On the motion, do you want to include that language about the exception that you changed?
I don't think so, because it's the ASBA language that we're going to stay with, so we'll just stay with the ASB language and not the other language. So that's the biggest change was just under the letter B. So.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to approve policy advisory number 671 all the way up to policy advisory number 676, but not policy number 672, we're tabling that one.
I second that motion.
Target date of September 21st, I would direct your attention to, I gave you a little copy of the COVID benchmarks, and it's, again, the information that we have is 2 weeks old, so I don't know if you guys have seen what they're on the website. But the every Thursday they update these benchmarks, and we are good. We are, I want to say, county-wise, we were at about a 2.4% positivity rate, which is very good. My hope was that we got it under 5% before we were ready to start, and we've been under 5% for 3 weeks, so I think that's good. The bad thing is that it's a two-week lag, so remember, the information we have right now is from the week before Labor Day. Is that right? I think so. You know, we don't know what the Labor Day bump is going to be. You know, there's going to be something. Because people, I'm sure, didn't follow all the rules. So we are ready, I believe, to open up on Monday. I think there's only one school. I want to say one school. There might be two besides us that are not open yet. Douglas being one of them, and they've had some high disease.
See, Labor Day, a lot of people go south and go out of town.
They had a huge thing on the Phoenix TV about Rocky Point that you couldn't even get a rental at Rocky Point on Labor Day.
Park.
So
yeah.
I'm nervous about what's coming.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've done a good job. Our people are, I think, pretty alert. We've got almost I would say everybody now is gotten to the point where when they stand up and walk out of their room, if they don't have their face mask, they realize they don't have their face mask on. That was a tough adjustment for many of us. You know, it's just not, I guess, you know, you get used to, you feel safe in your office area and whatever, but I think it's good. We're ready. For the kids, we have all of our schedules ready to go. The teachers started taking informal polls today, and if we approve it, and you're okay with it, tomorrow, we will also put out a call to the parents, and then we will have the parents call in and let come here online, or if they're going to have their kids come to school. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a lot of them that are going to come to school to use the devices, but I do believe we're probably going to be somewhere in the 10 to 15 every day. We have been as high as 37, and we've been as low as 9 on using our devices on days. So one day it rained, and we were at 9. So, a rainy Friday, not a good day. They're not going to, not going to be many kids here. We will have all of that. That does slow down our process of making sure all the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that are here have their own computer right now. We're still waiting when those others come in. That's that first order comes in. We will be able to do that. But I think that I think the teachers are ready. I think everybody misses the kids. I think they're ready to get somebody in front of them besides just teaching to the screen. And I mean, you know, it's just going to be the next step now. We will be looking at how to best serve the kids. Some of the classrooms, through the numbers we have so far, our fourth grade may be, they may put all the kids that come to school in one section and teach live to that section, and move the other section to online and then swap teachers. The third grade, their numbers are very close that way. Second grade, right now, we have one class that every kid is going to be online, but one's got to check with their parents, and we had to call 3 or 4 more. So I don't know where it will be. The other classroom had only 6 kids coming, so we'll see where we are with each group. And with each group, we will handle how we run that classroom. If the teachers are swapping math and reading and science and social studies, and they're each teaching a couple of the subjects to everybody, then we'll do online group and a live group. Otherwise, if they're teaching all their own kids and that's all they're doing, all the subjects, they're going to be teaching live and online at the same time. That will be more of a challenge. Met with Julie, Mr. Rodriguez, and Victor Valdez, who's helped us tremendously. We are very fortunate to have Victor and Mark Silverstein, to have 4 people that have pretty good technological background. I would say for school our 5, we're very lucky. I think that when we've had an issue come up, one of the 4 people has been able to get there and take care of that issue, and I think the teachers feel pretty lucky that we've had that much technological support, because I know some schools much bigger than us that have 1 person. And it's been a nightmare, you know, because we 1 person can only have 1 person at a time. So we've been very lucky with that so far. So I will go down that road and say that. But I do feel we're ready. If in any way, shape, or form at any point in time I feel it's not safe, I would call school off that day. We would have a special board meeting and we would set up another time to back to what we're doing right now and then start back on hybrid when it was safe.
How are you going to do the contact automated or?
Tomorrow we're going to do a robocall. Unfortunately, when the robocall goes out, there are a lot of people who don't listen to it. Like, let's say Risa gets the robocall. She sees the number, doesn't listen to it, hangs up, and immediately calls the school. And before the robocall is done talking with the message, we've already had 3 phone calls missed.
Oh, no.
And the last robocall that went off, we had 3 phone calls before the robocall was done. It's amazing that people don't listen to the message. But
what I was told is that sometimes it's really hard to understand it.
It
sounds like the people are like too far away from the microphone or from the speaker, and it's hard to understand what they're saying.
All right, well, you got that, Mrs. Marvin. You and Rodriguez have to get closer.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a mask on, Risa.
Huh?
Maybe they have a mask on and they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it is, but that's what told me.
But I just like, tomorrow we'll do the robocall, and within 2 hours we'll have 100 phone calls. So what I did was I just told the teachers, you know, get as many numbers as you can so we can plan things so that when they call, we're able to talk to them and we can tell them what day their kids are going to start and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have a staff meeting, middle school's meeting tomorrow, second hour, and then tomorrow afternoon after school, we're going to meet with the K through 5 staff. And we're going to go through and try to talk about everything. Because the schedules are a little different with the junior high versus the elementary, I wanted them to be able to meet separately. The second hour, they all right now have a planning period because it's when they have their extra class, and nobody's doing that right now, you know, where they do guitars and art and all that kind of fun stuff. So, but my recommendation would be that we would move forward to leave the target date as of Monday the 21st, with the understanding that if anything changes and it gives, you know, not safe. The plan then would be, as kids come to school, the recommended plan is if they come to school, a kid comes and they are showing signs of the things we're supposed to look for with COVID, and then ultimately the flu, okay, because we're going to hit the COVID flu boom boom pretty much together here pretty soon. And they have a high temperature. If we send them home, they will be out 72 hours. That's the recommendation, to make sure they're out and they're not taking anything that reduces the fever medically, so that they're not on a fever reducer. When they come back, that they've been off a fever reducer and they are at a temperature under 100. It's actually 100.4.
So you're basically trusting them to not medicate them?
Well, here's the deal. There are some schools out there that aren't even taking temperatures. They're assuming that the parents are going to go through that 12-symptom checklist at home and take their temperatures every morning before they come to school. I was being a smart aleck, but we were on this big meeting with the state superintendents, and I said, well, if you guys have too many of those parents, send a couple down here, because I'd like, you know, we'd like to train some other people. You know, because who the heck is going to do that? Who has time in the morning to do all that? I mean, you know,
it's
crazy. We're all, you know, you've got two or three kids, you're getting them ready, you're on your way to work, you're getting ready. Yeah, I'm going to check all 15 symptoms right now? No, I'm not.
It's a great, I went to Marshall's, and the thermometers, the ones that they have now, the little bun ones, they had a whole bunch of them at Marshall's in service, so I don't know, are we okay with those?
We have five of them.
Okay.
We bought five.
I hadn't even seen them at Walmart or anything, and Marshall's had them,
yeah.
But they had quite a bit of them.
Well, the prices are probably better now than when we ordered
them.
But three of the ones we got, two of them are just the temperature. Three of them come out with a color code. So you just know automatically if you're green, you're good. If you're red, no. And then the yellow is the one you got to really look at the temperature. So, and it's in Celsius. So then we had to do a conversion chart and the whole nine yards. So anyway, we got it figured out. But that would be my recommendation to you, that we leave that at the target date with the understanding that if you have a jump and anything looks like it's unsafe, that I would do my job and not have the kids come into school, and then we would have probably a special or an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
And
so for example, like my son doesn't want to come to school yet.
So what the message and what the recommendation is, and I think it's a good recommendation, and I think it's one that makes parents have to think about it though. The recommendation is to give the option of coming to school or not coming to school, doing it online. When you do it online, you could still go to school, right, and use the devices, but you don't have to. You can do it at home. But if you choose to do it at home and be online, or just to be online, you are online until January.
Mm-hmm.
And some schools went at the quarter, but then they turned around and they said they're not going to open up until October 1st, and then their quarter break is October 9th. Well, what?
Yeah.
You're going to be, you've got 9 days, and then you're going to do it again. So what I would like to do, and why I say it's the semester, is it allows our teachers to get used to this before we turn around and make a change again, because at semester, I think there'll be a change. But
they're going to be in school for how many days or not? They're going to be in school for 2 days?
With the hybrid, it depends on which grade level. Because if we have a lot of kids, okay, but let's just say, let's say the eighth grade, okay? The eighth grade, we have 27, I can't remember. or 27. Let's say 60% of them are not going to come, even if it's 50%. 13 kids in class. To me, those 13 kids should be here every day. Why should I make 7 come one day and 6 come another day? That's just stupid.
Okay.
So I would have, but in the 7th grade situation, of the 49 kids, 45 of them are coming. So we're going to be splitting 7th grade not only into AB, but the AB are going to be split into AB. When the A comes, they'll be split into two groups. When the B comes, so that class, everybody wants to be here. Of course, that class visited me a lot last year, so they dislike me and miss me. But you know, there's a lot of kids that are going to come. I think I heard 4, and there were 2 that we hadn't heard from yet. So only possibly 6 of the 49 not coming. So I mean, doing it online. So that there's no way we could put them all in the regular class.
That it just depends on what they sign up for.
Each class, yes. And
isn't your son going to be in 8th grade this year?
Yeah, he's in 8th grade, but he doesn't. I thought he said he wanted to, but now he doesn't want to. So I don't know.
I'm surprised. I really am, because I really thought from talking to the kids and the parents and you know, the ones that come up and play basketball or whatever they do, you know, during the summer, I thought we'd be at about 40% that weren't going to come. But it's really flipped the whole other way. So I think we're going to have about 60% out. So, but you know what? It's better that they feel comfortable and they feel safe. It really is. And you know, you can get sick at home, so that's not even guaranteed to be safe. But you know, the last thing you want is for a kid not to really feel comfortable, and then they come anyway because they feel guilty, and then they get sick, and then they take it home, and then they get somebody else sick, and then they feel really horrible about it. You know, so if they need to not be here, my recommendation would be that they would stay out. But it is till January.
Okay.
We'll do it that way. So if you get phone calls, here would be my recommendation. If you get somebody and they call you, like they see this in a paper, they hear it, or they get the robocall, I'm going to call almost and I'm going to rip them a new one. This ticks me off. I don't want these kids, but you know. Okay, fine. But when they call you, just say, I understand, but this is a really fluid situation. Call Mr. Macklin, because he can give you the most up-to-date information. Call me.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, just because, like, we'll have a board meeting tonight, but by second hour tomorrow when I meet with the middle school, I might have some new information that, you know, I can't share with you right now. So let them call me, you know, and
right for the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and that way I can get it. And if I don't know the answer, I'll just find out and call them back. But it's easier for you, too, because it doesn't put you guys on the spot. Because, I mean, there's no way anybody can expect you guys to know everything. You just
and then updates all the time.
Well, yeah, but still.
Things just change. You don't know what's going on.
All right. Let's see.
So I would like to make a motion to approve action item D, reopening the school, target date of September 21st, 2020, with the understanding that there may be measures in place to provide a safe work learning environment. How's that?
Okay. Sounds good.
Second that motion?
Aye.
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 I got to
write it in.
I guess on my paperwork for 5, I don't know, for P, I mean. I know I read it. Where is it in the mix? I don't know. The big old, what's the papers there? The personnel issue.
Oh, sure, there's a book.
I didn't put anything in there. I just,
it's not in there.
This would be about a 2-minute closed session that I need to update you on something.
Okay.
Okay. Hang on. Romero seconded, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost motion.
All right. So if we could go to a closed session for a personnel issue for, like I said, it'll take maybe 2 minutes, but I can answer any questions at that point. It's 6:13, if that's all right, Ms.
Where are we going?
Hi?
Where are we going?
We could stay here and they can go outside. It's beautiful outside. I'm smiling under this mask. Just so you know, I'm smiling under this mask.
All right. I would like to make a motion to close out this open session and go into executive session at
6:14.
Okay.
Well, where did I read the thing on this? I know I read it somewhere.
Risa seconds. Aye.
I didn't send it to you. I was actually...
Sorry.
Do we have your vote to go into closed session? Executive session for personnel issue? Three ayes. We'll start recording.
At 6:14.
6:14, yeah.